Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bouchard.
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live from Glen Burnie, Maryland, for another edition of the Power Play Point Podcast. And thanks for joining us again. You from the DMV, state of Maryland, of course, Commonwealth of Virginia, and the District of Columbia. And speaking of the Commonwealth, with me once again to get you through another week of Caps Hockey Talk is our ever popular mermaid memeing mentalist, Fairfax County's teaching prodigy, the one and only, she's the beautiful, the wonderful Anna Knox.
Happy Monday, Gil. And I can say it's
end of frickin' tax season.
I was gonna say it kicked off my spring break, but I was thinking all those times I had to listen on the radio about, oh, you only have 12 hours to file. Don't forget to get there. I was like, you know what, people, really, it's not like people shouldn't know about the date for taxes. It's pretty much April 15th. April 14th, April, you know, it's not like all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, July. You know, it's the same. So people who wait until the last minute and stress about it and then wait in long postal service lines, whatever. Like, I have very little sympathy for you. I don't, you know, and people say, oh, well, I'm going to let the government wait till the last minute to get my file. Really? I kind of don't care. I don't care. And I don't want to hear about it. So. But hey, yeah. You said Good Friday was coming and you were hoping to have a Good Friday, which means you couldn't ask for it off, but hopefully it would lead to a good weekend. Is that right?
I have Friday off.
Oh, hey.
I have that Good Friday off. And yeah, so it really will be a Good Friday when I finally get
there. How are you
going
to do?
I don't know yet. Hopefully more than just sleep. And yeah. I don't know what the weather's going to be like, but hopefully it'll be nice and sunshiny. I mean, I don't care if I just sit on the old porch and sip Mai Tais or something like that. I don't know. I don't care at this point.
If you do that, spring break Anna is coming to you.
Okay. It's a deal.
Right.
All right. So yeah, as long as I am not in front of a computer taking phone calls from whiny ass people, because I have had more than enough of that. And yes, I am so with you. You people who cry and complain about waiting till the last minute. Well, guess what? Don't wait till the last minute.
All right. If you have it on your calendar or just in your, you know, in your head that, come on, you know, it's like New Year's Day is January 1st, February 14th is Valentine's Day, March 10th is Anna Knox's birthday, April 15th is tax day, and then Cinco de Mayo and graduation, 4th of July. I mean, come on now. There's all these reasons to remember stuff. So I don't know. I get annoyed because I've got one or two family members that are those last minute people who are kind of pulling their hair out at the very end and looking for that last thing to, you know, to deduct. And it's like, oh, please, whatever. I know. Seriously. But mind you, I'm coming off of like a week of pseudo elementary school teacher hell. of teachers that don't want to be there and students that don't want to be there. So, you know, just kind of like, oh, hey, look, we have 7.5 hours and then we're all out of here, but let's all behave and not be out of control. And that didn't happen Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. So now that I'm on break, you don't want to answer customer service calls. I don't want to see any of my coworkers, although I love them to death, but I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk about school, and I don't want to see any of my students. And then I'll be like excited to see them after a week, but not right now.
Yeah, not right now. good scheduling. Not right now.
Just not right now.
Right. So, okay, well, a nice sneak peek of what's going on in the lives of your favorite Caps podcasters. Right. Hope you enjoyed that.
Snore.
Yeah, really. So let's get into what you really came here for, and that's our ever popular recap of the week that was in Washington Capitals hockey, and of course, the playoffs, the most wonderful time of the year, has begun. Two games in the first round here, the Metro Division semifinal, in the books. And as everybody knows, Caps are up 2-0 in this series. So let's go over the particulars. Game numero uno was a 4-2 win. This past, as soon as my app decides to work here.
Thursday.
Oh, let's see. Yes, Thursday, 4-2 win this past Thursday. Thank you for hanging the bucket where I leak.
No worries.
Quick recap of the scoring. Caps jumped out to a 3-0 lead after an admittedly lackadaisical first 9-10 minutes. The Swedish treat himself, Niklas Backstrom, scores with the snapshot. Beautiful assist by John Carlson Brooks Orpik. Gets the 1-0 lead, 9:58 into the first. And then Caps go on the power play about a couple, 3 minutes later. And Backstrom, Johnny on the spot with the tip in. Carlson with his second assist of the playoffs. Kuznetsov with the primary on that one. Another PPG. About 5 minutes later from the captain, Tommy Wilson, and John Carlson again with the assist. So Carlson already with 3 points on the night. 3-0 lead at the end of one. And then the Canes would make it interesting, but not till the third period. Andrei Svechnikov would quickly get two goals, 2.5 minutes apart, approximately. A wrister and a slapper, both assisted by Mr. Wallmark. Remember that name. But Lars Eller would put it away. And as he always does, Tiger masters the 200-foot shot for the empty netter. See what I did there?
I did. But I don't know if you actually watch? Well, I'm not going to
get
into that.
Oh, no. No, okay. Well, no, I just knew you were a golf fan, so I thought I'd slip that in there.
I am. It was a great Masters yesterday.
Yeah, people like when I slip things like that in there, so.
That's what she said. Oh, zing.
Insert rim shot here.
That's what she said. Oh, boy. You told me today, I'm going into this podcast salty. I was like, fuck yeah, bring it on.
I did warn you. Yes.
Right. But I never need to be warned, though.
Okay. So, well, I'm warning the listeners now. Because of aforementioned job situation, yes, I are in a salty mood. So old blue liner's probably going to get blue a few times here. So you may want to cover the kitty's ears if you're playing this on speaker. So.
Bring it on.
Yeah. Okay, so going to the vitals, the game stats. Oh, boy. It's a wonder the Caps won this game at all. Shots on goal, 29 to 18. 18? 18 shots on goal by the Washington Capitals. 18, and yet they managed to get four in. Pardon me. Gave up 29. Of course, Holtby was more than equal to the task, so no big deal there. Faceoffs, oh boy, another bad night at the dot. 58.2% for Carolina, 41.8% for the Caps. But the one good place, and this might have been what ended up defining the game. So the Caps got four chances, buried two of them. So, you could say that when the Caps went to the pee-pee, they were at least half-cocked. So,
look at you. God.
Yeah, well, I said.
Maybe at the playoffs, it's like kind of brought out a little like feisty girl, and I'm liking it.
Hey, it's the second season. We got to up our game.
You do, but yeah.
it's expected. So
all right.
You don't.
I don't have to up my game.
No, that's right. No, you're everywhere already. So
No. That's not what I meant. I was saying I don't have to up my game in like snarky innuendos. That's what I was saying. Not where I'm at. Okay. It doesn't. I'm all good, but please, it's okay. Not my style.
All right. Well. So, that's getting back to the game though. Did not like the way they kind of let down, and we'll get to that more when we finish the other games recap. But yeah, that's what it amounted to, and I think that's how they Carolina let back in. Now, I want to point out here we had our own in-house consigliere. Monsieur Levesque on last week, and he made the point that this is not a team to overlook, and you saw why. Because They may not have the firepower, but they got the fight in them, and they did not give up the fight, despite being put down 3-0 for upwards of about 40-plus minutes. So,
right.
You know... Like you said last week also, we need a 60-minute effort, and I don't know that they got it.
No, I feel like we came out – I feel like the Capitals came out strong. Anytime you have Backstrom scoring is just a fantastic vibe for the team, but then back-to-back Backstrom scoring, it's like how can you not go wrong? Unfortunately, they kind of dropped their guard a little bit, and Carolina was like, hey, you know what? We're still going strong in the third period, and here you go. So it wasn't a shutout. Knew it wasn't going to be. I have to say, I the only thing that really shocked me, I won't even say shocked. Let's just back it up. Surprised me.
Back was it up.
Right. Beep, 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 there you go.
Sorry.
It was much more physical than I thought it was going to be. And I think like prior to coming into the playoffs, I had always said that what I liked so much about the Capitals and the Hurricanes playing together was that they seemed very even matched in regards to, you know, skill and talent and, you know, whatever you want to call it, and minimal penalties, which I always thought was super great going into the playoffs. And I felt like that team, like Carolina came out like ready to fucking go. And we were good for the first 40 minutes. And then all of a sudden, I don't want to say ever that the team, that the Capitals just assumed they were going to win. And if that was the case, then shame on you. But I'm glad to see that they came back. But I think they definitely need to go into this game tonight, not even thinking that they can hold back anything. This has to be their 60 minutes of hockey tonight. No fucking excuses at all. This game tonight, this game 3 is huge. Huge.
Oh, I totally agree. And to your point, which very astute, by the way, because I wasn't even going to point out the rest of the stats, but you're right. You look at the numbers in this game, the Caps and Canes almost even in hits. They combined for 72 recorded hits.
Exactly.
That's kind of high, even for a playoff game. So, yeah. You're right. You're right to notice that the physical element was definitely there. So that and the Canes have the Hurricanes had the slight edge in that they had 37 versus 35 for the good guys. So, I mean, that's a sign that they're not going to shy away. They're not going to be intimidated. So
no.
This is not going to be an easy series. It's not going to be an easy team to put away.
No. And I think
definitely showing it.
And I think it was last week or the week before, we even said that this is a team. I don't know, Chris Levesque, has, you know, he said his opinion on it, which we completely agree with. But it really comes down to, this is a team that doesn't have anything to lose. You know, they're not coming into it like how the Capitals were last year with this like dark cloud of, oh, will they get the Stanley Cup win? Will they be able to do it, or will they choke? Carolina doesn't have that. So they're kind of going in with, hey, whatever happens, happens. The fan base is back, you know, it's got their backs. Carolina's, you know, just that whole area is just absolutely loving the Hurricanes right now. And that's great. You know, good on them. But when you go into a game, you don't have anything to prove. Why not give it your all? You know, so that's what I think the Capitals are seeing right now. And I think it's a great matchup. I'm not going to tell you what I think about tonight, but I am glad that this is the team that we're playing. I said it from the beginning, and I think that this was a good kind of stepping stone into the playoffs over the Capitals having to say face the Penguins, which, you know, been there, done that. Don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's talk about somebody else. So Carolina, come on. You know, we'll see what happens tonight. They're on their home ice tonight. Puck dropping at 7, and I think it's going to be a fantastic game. I'm pumped.
Oh, I think so, for sure. But before we get into that, we need to finish out the recap so far. So that's tonight. And of course, as we're recording this, it's 5:30-ish on lovely tax day, the 15th. And so, yes, we do have that later on. But game number 2 played also at the Cap One Arena this past Sunday. Saturday. Mm-hmm. In the afternoon, which I absolutely loved. Please, NHL, no more fucking weekend matinee games, please. Especially during freaking cherry blossom season, please. Assholes. God. What a clusterfuck that was. And me chained to my phone. Good God. I couldn't see hardly any of this goddamn game. But anyway, okay, so recapping the action, Nicklas Backstrom quickly with his third, assisted by the captain and Dmitry Orlov, 1-0 Washington. TJ Oshie on the board 6 minutes later with the put away to backhand. Niskanen and Kuznetsov with the assist, 2-0 Washington. 15:54 into the first, Lucas Wallmark hits the target. It gets his first of the playoffs with a tip-in. So it's 2-1 Washington at the end of the first. And then who should come a-calling deep into the second, 16:49 to be exact, but our old friend Sebastian Aho with his first.
It's funny. I can't think of whenever I hear his name, I only think about you. Because I don't know. He got under your skin this year and is probably, you know, maybe one of two or three players that did. And I have like this entire laundry list of throat punch worthy players. But Aho always stands out as one that I just I know it's just going to get under your skin.
He's a decent player. He's not like what's that guy's name that got traded from the Rangers to the Jets? Kevin Hayes, I think he is. He's not one of those guys who sucks all year and just does well against the Capitals.
Right.
Aho's a good player. It's just he always does well against the Capitals. Always.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. He just brings out his A-plus game against us for some reason. Always. And that's what pisses me off about him. So, I mean, he's not a dirty player. He's a decent, fine player.
No, he's a good player. I have, and he's young.
He always finds a way to hurt them. I just hate that.
Yeah.
So he gets his first familiar face, Justin Williams with the assist. Jacob Slavin with the secondary assist on that one. So that tied the game. And then, pardon me. And then about halfway, a little less than halfway into the next period, Tom Wilson gets on the board with his first, assisted by the captain and Backstrom. And I kind of thought that would be the game winner, the way the game was going. But no. And this series, at least for the Capitals, I would say, is the how could I put this? The Yogi Bear story. And the reason I say that is, pick a Nick. Nick Backstrom, Nick Jensen, doing well. And Nick Dowd, not so much. He got himself a bad penalty towards the end. It was a high stick against Dougie Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Appropriately enough. Oh, no, this was his second. His first was at 9-1-1 of the second. This second one was 14-25 into the third against Jordan Staal. And it turns out that's who would get the PPG that would tie the game at 3-even. And then guess what? We were headed to overtime, which can either be a ball-busting time or can be an exhilarating time if you're a hockey fan, or I don't know. Depends True. On what side of the fence you sit upon.
Although I do have a question for you.
Fire away.
Thank you. Maybe it was just because I was coming off of the last week of school and was just completely drained watching these games. I did watch all of them. But I thought going into overtime, it was 5 minutes that the players play before the shootout. And this one was like the full 20 minutes. Is that because it's the playoffs?
Right. Yes, exactly right. So yes, the circus that is the skills competition shootout does not apply. Those rules do not apply during the playoffs. Hallelujah. Thank the hockey gods that they freaking don't. Because I would absolutely blow every gasket, every orifice in my body. I would go catatonic forever. Yes, some of you would probably be happy about that if they ever applied that rule. And there was a certain sportscaster I used to listen to that advocated that. I have long since stopped listening to him. No, you're right. No, they do not apply that in the playoffs. It's the traditional full 20-minute period. They play till they drop. They play till there is a winner, a legit winner, not drag these guys out like a dog and pony geek show and do the stupid skills competition. No, this is good old-fashioned. Knock them down in the alley, drag them out, knock them out some more, and then do bad things to their orifices, whether they're knocked out. Keep that picture in your mind.
I'd rather not.
Then don't. Anyway, good old-fashioned playoff hockey where the best team actually can have a chance to win, not the best goalie or the best top scorer. So 1 minute, 48 seconds into the overtime period, the first shot was fired by, guess who? Not Brooks Orpik. Yes, Brooks Orpik. You were expecting maybe Alex Ovechkin? Well, I think a lot of people were, especially the idiots at NBC.
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah. He's going to get his first playoff overtime goal. Nope. It was Brooks Orpik from a brilliant pass from behind the net by Evgeny Kuznetsov. Fires. This was a hell of a shot, too. I hope people saw the replay.
That's just a fucking shot. It was. Oh my God! Exactly
He nailed that corner like a. Well, I don't want to say like what, but
yeah,
he nailed that top right corner.
It was It was fantastic. It was and I don't know. Orpik is, you know, I've kind of given him shit for a little bit, and then
we both have.
Whatever. And I'm not going to come back and, you know, all of a sudden be his biggest fan, but I will say it is actually very funny because one of our previous call-in guests, Rochelle Wilcox, was very funny in a comment I put on Twitter, which simply said that on March 10th, I was glad to give up my number 43 Wilson jersey number to then, you know, celebrate my number 44 Orpik jersey, meaning my birthday, you know, and she wrote something to me like, oh, like I never would have those words come out of my mouth. And I don't know, what are you thinking? And, you know, that's up there with number 9. And I was like, no, I was talking about my birthday. Like, I was 43, so I was rocking, you know, Tom Wilson, and I always will. And I happened to turn into the, you know, number 44 year. And it's Brooks Orpik, and he happens to score. And she was so great. She's like, oh my God, I'm such a fucking dumbass. I'm so, you know, and it was just very funny. But I thought it was just great because here's a player that, you know, what we had, like, he has a year contract. I don't know, Gil, if you have had a chance to see the whole like nicknames that they have for him off the ice and apparently
his is Batya, which is Russian for dad.
Yes. But if you see the interview of him being like, oh, I'm sure it's, you know, something negative or whatever, but it's actually not. It's very endearing. And they all call him that. And when he scores, like that, you know, that's it. That's his nickname. And I just kind of had a little bit more of an appreciation for number 44 after seeing that interview and knowing what the team calls him. But I will tell you, that was a hell of a shot. And I was so impressed. And, you know, I don't know, for me, I'm glad to see somebody else scoring. I don't need it to always be Ovechkin, who we all love. And he's fantastic, and I don't want him to go anywhere. He's our captain. But you know what? I also feel like Ovechkin's like, hey, you know what? If the time is right and you're in the right place, I'm going to pass it to you and you score. I'm okay with it. And that is absolute respect for that guy. So for Orpik to score, I was okay with it. I was beyond okay with it. I was jumping up and down.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, no, it was awesome.
A brief 60-second history lesson here. It took me back to the 91, I want to say. The 1990. The 1990 playoffs, second round against the Rangers, where Rod Langway scored something like that in overtime. So it's shades of that, you Caps fans whose memories go back that far. So yeah, great to see one of the Hard Rock D-men score. And yeah, exactly right. Hell of a shot. So quick rundown of the vitals. This time the good guys outshot the Canes 33-28. And even worse, abysmally, diarrhea-like performance at the faceoff dot, 62.9, damn near 2 out of 3 faceoffs that they'd lose. Oy, that's got to improve, especially in the defensive zone.
Agreed.
Special teams, Carolina, well, the fact that they got 5 power plays, a bit disturbing, but they capitalized on one. Caps 0 for 4 on the PP. They come up empty there. Flush that down the toilet, hopefully. Caps, not too many penalties, but, the 10 minutes, but the, you know, PK came up big, except for that last one, unfortunately. Caps also out-hit the Canes. Canes a little bit less physical in this one. Only 22 hits compared to 34 for the Caps. Possession game favored the Caps. But again, they kind of let down in terms of effort. They jump out to that lead, and I don't know. They kind of take their foot off the gas a little bit, and it's a trend I'm not liking. And again, we can't stress it enough. This is not a team that you let up on. It's not a team that you can, you know, dismiss. So we keep on saying it. 60-minute effort, guys. Come on. And it took 61 minutes, actually.
Yeah.
This time around, it might take more if you keep on doing this. So hopefully, lesson learned. I mean, coaching staff has got to get on them, and I'm sure they have. But to reinforce that point, so that leads us to tonight, which of course is Game 3 in Raleigh. 7 o'clock puck drop, as Anna said, and we've already outlined it. They've got to take it to them. Take the crowd out of the game. They don't even have to score in the first 10 minutes or whatever it is. They don't need that hot a start. Just, you know, match the intensity, if not take it over. And, that'll take the crowd out of the game for sure, especially if they score. But, not, I mean, doesn't have to be anything like that.
Well, I agree. At this point, there's no reason for a ridiculous over-the-top beginning, you know, if you're making reckless errors or reckless plays. At this point, it's whether you score in the first couple of minutes, great. However, how are you guys going to do when it comes to, you know, minute 56? You know, like, let's really see the effort towards the end. Not saying don't come out strong, but keep it consistent. And that is one thing I'm hoping that this will be the game that the Capitals will come out strong and they're going to pace themselves, not looking for any fancy passes or any kind of ridiculous stuff. Just 60 minutes, but smart hockey. You know, don't be ridiculous. And the crowd in Carolina, you know, they haven't been in this situation in years, and they've kind of got this goofball team that is no joke. You know, it's like they're in the playoffs for a reason. And so, again, they're going to come in with a mentality of, hey, we've got nothing to lose. Our fan base is here and, you know, bring it on. And you've got Justin Williams, you know, he's been there, done that. He's a good leader role. I mean, people see him as a goofball. He's more than that. He's a damn good player. So there's that to take into consideration. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence on whether or not I feel like this may be the one game of the series that the Caps don't win. And I think that they'll take the series. I don't doubt that they will, but I think this could be the one game in which they're going to have a little wake up call from Carolina. And I think it's going to be tonight, unfortunately. And that's fine. That's why there are 7 games. You know, that's why hockey is the way it's going, especially with, you know, we look at the other teams that are playing. But I don't know. Tonight, I kind of feel like if they don't come out kicking ass from the get-go and maintain it, this may be the one that Carolina has the win at home, and, you know, the Capitals need to get their shit together.
Yeah, I think you make a valid point there, and yeah, you might actually have something there. If they did not learn the lesson from this last game, then they'll certainly learn it tonight, because the Hurricanes are certainly going to ramp it up to their max level to get the home crowd involved as much as they can, because they're hungry. They're hungry for it. They've been waiting 10 years for this. So, absolutely. So they're watch for that. And as I always say, as many commentators before me have said, watch the first 10 minutes. All the Caps have to do to have a chance tonight is to survive that and just keep up the smart hockey, keep the effort going through that. And that will eventually win everything out. Take the crowd out of the game. Just keep on plugging away with a consistent effort, and I think they'll be just fine. So you mentioned, segueing away from that, mentioned the other series.
Yes. Well,
okay. So I was talking with a friend of mine, Dante, and we both kind of looked things over and kind of looked at each other and said, damn, the hockey world is upside down, inside out, wrong side up, on its face, because two series in particular are going the exact opposite of how the quote unquote experts predicted it. Okay, and so if you've been watching, and a lot of us have, the other series, the two in question I'm mentioning, of course, are the top level Central Division semis, Tampa Bay and Columbus. Columbus, of course, now having a 3-0 series lead. And the other Metro Division series, Penguins and Islanders, with the Islanders winning yesterday and putting a seemingly unbreakable chokehold of their own 3-0 lead on the Penguins in that series. So I just wanted to say a quick little something about that. And I mean, I seriously doubt. In fact, I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell that any Lightning fans or certainly not Penguins fans are listening to this, but you two fan bases who've been arrogantly throwing your weight out there all year long. boy, this is just desserts for you guys. I'm sorry. And you talk about a snowball's chance of not listening. Well, we got something in common then, because I don't know if either one of your teams have a snowball's chance of surviving.
Fighting words.
Well, okay. So I half joke. I do want to gloat because I hate both of those teams. But in all seriousness, I also want to offer a ray of hope, because I'm a nice guy. Because it's not entirely impossible to come back. If you think about it, all you have to do is put together a 4-game winning streak, which certainly for Tampa Bay is not out of the realm of possibility. And it's not as if Pittsburgh doesn't have the talent to do it either. Although, I mean, well, okay, but speaking of Pittsburgh, their players have to step it up. Now, I would discuss Sidney Crosby's offensive contributions, but it's pointless.
Literally.
Sorry, I hate to laugh at my own joke, but I'm sorry. I can't help. I don't know. It's not always that you see the team you hate the most in this position, so you got to make the most of it. But no,
right.
That's
just it, though. The series is far from over, and I said last week. I think I might have said it. I think I said it on Josh Kirby's show that I compared I was kind of like trying to make a comparison of when you have an NHL or NFL quarterback, and there's just those certain quarterbacks that take the pressure there's like a minute left in the fourth quarter, you guys are tied or you're down by a touchdown, and there are just certain quarterbacks or certain players that you can count on with all the pressure to say, fuck yes, yes, you know, Brady to, you know, Gronk or whatever it is, Aaron Rodgers and whatever it is. And I often feel that that's how I see the Penguins. Like, they are kind of like that second half team. They may not start off great in the beginning of the season, you know, considering you have like 80 games to talk about. So maybe they're like, meh. And then they start to kind of kick ass and they make the playoffs. No surprise. Right now, they're kind of sucking, which I'm okay with. However, I'm not going to count them out because, or Tampa Bay, because I feel like these two teams, let's just start. Okay, so Penguins, they have the experience, they have the talent, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to see them win. I don't know. It's hard when they're up against the Islanders because I don't want to see them win either. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I'd love to see the Penguins get out. So at this point, they've got nothing against them except to give like an insane amount of skill and speed and hockey at its best tomorrow. When it comes to Tampa Bay, they are kind of riding that, oh, you know, we're the best. We got, you know, President's Trophy. We've got this. We've got that. They've been humbled by their series. I don't doubt that they're going to kick ass. I don't see either series being a shutout. Maybe that's what I need to say. Because you're in the playoffs for a reason. You don't just come in because it's like, oh, it's, you know, it's, hey, we just picked your name out of a hat and we're thinking, hey, let's have this team go against this team. You have to earn it. You have to fucking earn it. So the Penguins right now are being humbled. They're not going to like it. Their coach is probably losing his shit in the locker room. Like, what the hell, guys? Here are your stats. Here's where you stand. Here's the team we're going up against. What the fuck? Like, come on now. And same thing with Tampa Bay. So I think both series are going to go to game seven, to be honest, because I think that they're going to rally. Although I don't want to see Tampa Bay or the Pens make it, but I do think they're going to give the opposing team a good run for their money.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think either one of these series are over by a long shot, to be completely honest. You know, we like to do in college the old boot and rally, and I don't suspect that either team doesn't have that in them. I can definitely see either one of them or both of them coming back and at least taking it to seven. Now, make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, each team has at least one world-class talent on them. Say what you want about them, but you know, Sidney Crosby still got the goods.
Yeah.
Pardon me. So, sorry, my digestive system didn't react well to me saying that, but truth is the truth. So he is still capable of taking over a game, if not a series. So do not count the Pittsburgh Penguins out. And I would think at the very least on that alone, I would say that it's definitely within the realm of possibility, and it looks bad, but you know, I would not be surprised one bit again if that series goes to seven again, because on paper Penguins have a lot more firepower than do the Islanders, and that's going to be their downfall, I think, if and when the Islanders do get eliminated from the playoffs. Now, looking at Tampa Bay, now you see the season they had, and there's no reason why they can't win out either. But the problem is, one that we had, one that the Caps had. That's why I'm looking at it, and it's living out a Justin Timberlake song. It's like looking into a mirror. Now, 2-3 years ago, the motto was will over skill. Well, Tampa Bay obviously has the skill, but who has more of the will? Obviously the Blue Jackets do. I've been eyeing that series from a distance, and I just don't see that Tampa has anything in them right now to react to what is, for the first time in this whole year for them, their first real challenge, their first real set of adverse conditions.
But don't you think a player like Stamkos is not going to put up with that? Like, he's not ready to toss in the towel. He hasn't done much. But no. I think he's gonna have his own little humble pie moment and be like, "What the fuck? Like, this is how far we've come. This is an embarrassment. I'm not going to allow it. So let's start to rally." And it's going to be up to whatever opposing team to say, like, holy shit, these guys are no joke. They earned, you know, the place that they're at, you know, President's Trophy jinx or not. I mean, I thought at one point, I mean, I was very dismissive to say that they may choke, because everyone was talking about them. And that oftentimes happens in sports where you, you know, talk and put a team on a pedestal, and then all of a sudden they don't do anything. And it's like, oh, choke of the century. But these guys aren't out yet. So I'm not willing to say that Tampa Bay or the Pens are ready to toss in the towel.
No, not by a damn sight. And I was just getting to Stamkos. This, I would say, is going to be the defining moment of his career. And somebody, I wish I could remember who, but somebody put out a tweet that said, well, you know, Ovechkin got a lot of shit for not leading his team to success in his first 10 years,
right?
First 9 or 10 years as the captain. And it was all put on him, but not a word is being made of Steven Stamkos, who is in the same position. He's their team's captain. And as you said, he hasn't done much, if anything, this playoff year. So I think this is going to be his defining moment. Can he come up with the goods? Can he put the team on his back and say, hey, like you said, we kicked ass the whole year. We've come this far. We're not going to stop now. Our mission is the cup. We're not going to get bounced in the first round. We're not going out like this. And that it's got to come from within. And it's got to come from him. It's got to come from the on-ice leadership. So that if that doesn't happen, then this team's going to fold.
True.
So that's got to happen. It's got to come from him.
But again, like anything, like any other sport, you know, it cannot come down to one player. Like, you know, people, I'm shocked and disappointed and kind of ready to drop the gloves, you know, no pun intended, with the people who are saying that Ovechkin isn't scoring as well or as many points as he should be in the playoffs. Really? Okay, he is one player. And there's no I in team, whatever. He is a player that is, give me a break, not who he was, say, 10 years ago. Like, you know, when we talked about him being, you know, pseudo selfish and whatever, he's not there. But not everything can come down to Alex Ovechkin, just like not everything can come down to Sidney Crosby and not everything can come down to Stamkos. You know, it's like, it's not fair to put all the pressure the other players or the other teams have on, or the media, I should say, have on one specific player. That's what frustrates me. And, you know, at Stamkos, shit, the guy has earned everything. You know, he's a fantastic player. Okay. You know, the stats show it, but just because Tampa Bay is not doing as well as everyone thought they would, it's not his fault. And that's, sometimes I think people, not you, Gil, but like, you know, sometimes people just need the little gentle reminder that it's a team. And sometimes we're often very quick to say, well, Stamkos hasn't scored or Crosby hasn't scored. It's like, shut up.
I get all that. But the point I'm making is that he needs to, if he's the captain of the team, so he needs to take this moment and say,
rally his team.
We've got nothing left to lose. We're down in a hole. We've got to win four straight. We know what's ahead of us. Let's just do it. Let's just do whatever it takes to get there. And and he not only got to lead that way, but by example on the ice as well. And that's what's got to happen. So, you know, it's as simple as that to me. So I think we've gone on a little bit too long, but
sorry. Yeah, I know. It's
about that. This is still a Caps fan podcast. So, I wanted to point that out because there was something of a discussion in a couple of different rooms about that. Chris Levesque made a point in saying, "Well, look, don't count your chickens before they hatch," and that's a good point. And that's you know kind of what we're saying here. I don't think either series is over. So good to watch those. But it's fun for us, not so fun for the fan bases. Okay, so all right, so we gotta get to the end here. There's two quick points we need to get through before we sign off here. One from me and one from you. Did you want to go first?
If you're okay with that, it's a good thing. Is yours good news or bad news?
Mine is good news.
Okay, good. Yay! We're gonna end on a positive.
Tell you what. Let me go first. Mine's a lot quicker.
Okay.
Of course, we just celebrated Women's History Month. Just wanted to put that out there. Congratulations to the USA Hockey Women's Team.
Fuck yeah.
They won yet another gold medal at this year's World Championship.
They're fifth or something, right?
Yep. They beat Finland in the shootout, so they win the gold there. I don't like that it ended in a shootout, of course, but. If it's good enough for the NWHL to end in a regular overtime game, it ought to be good internationally. But can't make all the rules, I guess. But great performance by all, especially Kendall Coyne Schofield and Hillary Knight with some clutch goals in that game and other games. So great to see the ladies. Get the spotlight they deserve again and win yet another gold medal. So I just wanted to put that out there. Yes, I understand you have another bit of good news about a particular Caps fan.
I do. And I'm so excited to end our episode this way. And I am so glad that we're able to do this on the same day. Heather Bingham, she finished her last chemo treatment today, which is just ridiculously fantastic because I kind of followed her journey. I've also had my mother go through this and friends go through this. And I know it's so heart-wrenching to watch and people when they're not feeling well and nauseous and kind of just, you know, want to give up. And when they fight through it, like Heather did, you just can't help but want to stand up and say, oh my God, you freaking rock. And we just adore you. So yes, I watched a live video of her final treatment and the hospital that she's at, like they do it at all the other hospitals for these cancer treatments. When you're done, you get a chance to ring the bell. And at first she's like, oh, okay. But then she, you know, gave it a good tug, like, hell yeah, I'm done. And we just, you know, and I'll speak for you, Gil, because I know you're going to support it, but at the Power Play Point podcast, Heather Bingham, we are so, so happy for you and Brian and your family. And just hope that the next step is going to be, easier, more comfortable, you know, whatever you decide to do, whether it's the radiation or whatever. But I think Brian will, he'll keep me posted. But at this point, we are celebrating you. We are so proud of you. Whatever happens in your next adventure, whether it's radiation or whatever you decide to do, the Power Play Point podcast is behind you. We're thinking about you, and we are just so proud.
As absolutely, totally. And I mean that as someone who has witnessed someone close and of course not so close, friends and family go through the horrible scourge that is cancer, and having had loved ones taken away because of cancer, I could not be more ecstatic for you, Heather, in that you are, as promised, kicking cancer's ass and putting it to bed for good. And I echo Anna's sentiments in that I could not be happier for you. And of course, Brian, one of our loyal listeners and loyal Caps fans, I don't want to gush too long about it, but yeah, everything Anna said times 100, because Heather, you're everything that a human being ought to be, because you've shown a hell of a lot of courage and spirit, and you got through this like a champ. So I couldn't be prouder of both you and Brian. So that's all I wanted to say about that.
Awesome. It's so great. It's such a great way to end the show. And with, you know, even if they weren't Caps fans, I would still put it out there. But the fact that Brian is, and I think Heather's probably been subjected to a lot of Caps fandom in the most positive way possible, I think that's just great. So I know they appreciate it. I'm hoping that they are at home or out celebrating, because it is such a big deal. You rang that bell, and that's it. You go, girl. We're so proud of you.
Completely. Completely. I could not agree more. So on that great note, we're going to wrap it up here. Anna, I understand that somebody's knocking on your door here. So right. Sports on the Hill, of course, recording tonight, actually starting as we speak.
Yeah. Early
edition because of tonight's game. So catch them on Facebook Live, also via True Radio Network through their archives, starring Robbie Gross and Carol Porter III. Caps Talk is going to be the second segment tonight, did they say?
You know what? I think right now we're going to be talking about the series, other teams, and then going into it, and they're going to talk about Nationals also.
Okay. Yep. Sounds good. So, yes, and as I always say, you don't get enough of Anna here, you can catch her there. All right, so marching on, Caps fans, and let's put your hands together and not to pray, of course, but to cheer our team on. And we're halfway through this series, and I think it'll be a good one, but keep your eyes peeled for what all we talked about. Cheer as loud as you can, and hopefully by the time we speak to you next week, they'll have wrapped it up. So, for Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off for another edition of the Power Play Point podcast, and reminding you that the daddy spider had to have a talk with his son about spending too much time on the web. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
You like that?
Shut the fuck up. You have no idea. Yeah, there goes my dinner.